Hi, we are Kano and we represented Norway in Eurovision 2019.
And you're watching Destination Eurovision Memories.
Let me tell it to you now. You're stronger than the wind. If they ever let you down, the winter would set in. But then my mother showed me all my frozen heart could do. Unbreakable. Let me tell it to you now.
Hi, this is Destination Eurovision. My name is Roxy and this is Sebastian.
Hello, hello.
And of course, we are talking today with Kano. Hey, hi, how are you?
Hey. Hi.
How are you guys? How is going?
We're good. We're very excited because we have a new song coming out on just in a few days. So yeah, we're good. We're planning what to do this spring.
Nice. And now we're gonna make a few steps back to the Eurovision Song Contest 2019, and we're gonna talk about your memories from the Eurovision 2019 in Tel Aviv.
Can't you stay with me into the night? Stay, I need you close.
What did you have in your mind when the lights go out and your 3 minutes in the grand final started?
I think my first thought was, do not mess this up. What is my first line? Okay, I got it. And focus.
For me as well, it was like, okay, remember to, where is the cameraman? Try to not break like that your voice will crack. And remember the lines. Although I didn't remember the lines all the time, so I messed up a couple of times.
And I was just thinking about, not, I don't have to shake my head because our producer said that I was shaking my head too much when I'm yoiking. So I was just focusing on keeping it still when I'm yoiking.
Please tell us, what do you like the most about this performance? Is there anything you would change if you can?
Oh, I think it's the energy and the love we got from the audience when we performed that song.
Yeah, I feel like both us and the audience together was like this perfect match. So yeah, I still get goosebumps watching it on YouTube.
But of course, I think there's always like little bits and pieces you want to go back and improve. Especially for me, there's a couple of places there where I'm so energetic that I kind of like, I jump above a note, and I'm usually quite on key when I sing, but I get so much energy, so like, ah! At one point, and
that's
like,
no. So it's okay. You did great.
Okay, so how many points from 1 to 10 would you give yourself for this presentation?
Oh, I hate rating myself. But like the boys, 10, definitely. For me, there's room for improvement, so maybe like a 7.
Yeah. 7?
Yeah.
No,
you're also a bit too like, ah.
And not a solid, you're a solid 9, Alexandra.
Wow.
I think, I'd rate myself an 8.
Oh, well, 12 points.
Yeah. And Fred is 12 points, so he just like got the extra ones.
Yeah, you got definitely 12 points from Destination Eurovision, so everything was perfect there. And now it's time for the questions from our fans and also editors of Destination Eurovision. And the first question is, what was the funniest story that happened to you in the all Eurovision journey?
I think actually, what I'll remember the most, like when I grow old or older, is the feeling when we went off stage during the finals, and it was like, okay, is it over? And I wasn't too happy about the performance right then, but then we were just like got back to the green room and everybody was cheering, and then very quite quickly after we were taken downstairs to like a little TV studio where Israeli TV gave us like 2 or 3 shots of vodka while they were interviewing us, And then suddenly one of them said, saying like, yeah, you know that you're probably going to get a lot of audience votes. And we like, why? Yeah, because we can see it here on Twitter, and it's trending extremely. And we are okay. And then when we finally got up to the green room again, we were quite tipsy and like, yeah, everything. We didn't get any points from the jurors, but it was like, okay. And then it was a big reveal of the points.
Yeah, that was amazing.
What was the most emotional moment from the whole Eurovision journey in 2019?
I think that was probably it. Like receiving the points, seeing that all the hard work that we had done traveling and meeting all our fans before the competition, that it was like, okay, it worked. We have created like this huge family out there, and that was amazing. Yeah.
Okay, and which rehearsal was your favorite?
I have to say the final. Yeah, the final. It was the best.
Okay.
And for me, it was actually, I think it was the round before the jury rehearsal on the day of the finals. The famous one where the camera went off for some seconds. That was, the performance I was more the most happy about, actually. But yeah, it didn't work. So I guess it wasn't as good anyway, but I felt it was good.
Like the rehearsal before the final show, I think, because then we first saw like the opening act and everything with Netta, and like Elena Ferreira and everything. And I was like, whoa, this is so cool. So I think that one, yeah.
What was the most memorable, interesting question or interview you had through the Eurovision? Do you remember this one?
Maybe the one with the guy in the car from BBC.
Oh yeah, Rylan,
yeah, with Rylan. That was cool.
What did he actually ask?
I don't know. He was
undercover. Oh, he asked about, like, he asked if you could teach him how to yoik.
Yeah, that was it, in the back seat, yeah.
That was very fun, yeah.
Okay, do you have some memories from the red carpet? Like something special happened there for you?
Yeah, I remember that when we were in the car, I told the guys, I have a long dress with a veil, so do not step on my dress. And the first thing you see on the recording is that Tom stepped on my dress. So I just,
of course,
here I am, like entering the red carpet, like what? That was fun.
Yeah. And I did wear my traditional outfit from Kautokeino, the Gakti. Yeah. So I had to answer a lot of questions about that.
And what were come to your mind when you saw for the first time Eurovision from backstage artist perspective?
I think from my point of view, I was a bit disappointed. I've grown up with Eurovision, and I think this is such a big machinery, such a big, like, wow, it has to be something. And when I remember being there, it was like, yeah, this is like whatever gig I've been to, is like, it's like a normal stage, normal people, producers going there, and artists, great artists delivering on stage, being their normal self off stage. So I think that's kind of like the biggest thing. If you go in, like what you see on camera is really, it's not as glossy as it looks.
I totally agree with Tom. Well, it was amazing being there, but it looks so much bigger than on TV. So it was like this tiny arena. I actually think that it was just a bit bigger than the one in Oslo. So, but I loved it. I loved every bit of it.
I didn't really think about that. I was just in a bubble. I had in mind that I had 3 minutes on the stage and everything else, I didn't see that.
Well, but one thing is, like, I will always remember the buzz of all the artists warming up their voices in the where we had our wardrobes. Because it was like just like a big hall with, you know, like these cubicles. Like there wasn't actually a wall. It was just like 1 meter up. And then we were surrounded by big voices around us that had to sing all the time. And it was like, I think, like, if you're in a fair, like somewhere, like a lot of farmers trying to show off their cows or cattle or pigs or whatever, it was like that feeling of like everywhere.
True.
Yeah, this is, I think, unforgettable experience.
Yeah.
Okay, and what was your personal favorite, like, about the song and the other performances that you have around you from the other countries?
For me, it was Italy, Mahmoud with Soldi. Mm-hmm. Because he had this unique voice and it was like a hip-hop inspired song, and I really liked that.
I think, I was so impressed by like seeing and hearing how professional all the artists were there. And you feel like, okay, you were just like surrounded by musical giants because they're so like great performers. But I definitely think that Duncan did an amazing, like when he was on stage, his presence was amazing. And also he's a great guy. But for me also, I think the song itself, I think Solda is my favorite, but I think maybe the stage performance, I think Arcade with Duncan was maybe the best one.
I agree with the guys.
Perfect. So please tell us, because Eurovision is always also about the friendship. You as a band know it very well. With which artist delegation members you were super buddies in Tel Aviv? With who you get along very well?
A lot, actually. We talked a lot with Duncan and Sar, and Victor Krone, and Hatri, and all
and
of
Mickey.
Us. Mickey, of course. Like, we were meeting everyone, and everyone were so kind. So, yeah, a lot of them.
And I was talking a lot to the Tulia girls at those pre-parties.
Oh, so our girls from Poland. Yeah. Okay, what the Eurovision gave to you? Like, what the most advantages and disadvantages you see in all this experience?
I think for us, Laura, in general, like, we were a totally new band when we entered Melody Grand Prix. And of course, to be able to show our music to 200 million people in just like a few months after we started, that's a gift that very few artists or bands get. So yeah, to be able to reach so many people at so short time, that is an amazing thing. And without Eurovision, I don't think Kano would have been as strong as we are now, and that we have been able to travel the world to perform for a lot of people in all different continents and to release an album and also now releasing singles. Any disadvantages, really? No.
No, not at all.
No, maybe, like, of course, there are some people that would say, like, oh, if you're a Eurovision artist, you're like a Eurovision artist. But like, we all have been, at least me and Alexander, we've been Melody Grand Prix artists before. So it's kind of like this point of no return.
Yeah, we love it.
Amazing to hear. Always amazing to hear. And maybe the last question, maybe the toughest one, but you will tell us. Is there any secret about your Eurovision time that you never ever told anyone in public, but you will be that kind and tell us?
Maybe no. Om sceneshowet, att vara lax I golvet.
Yeah,
that's
about. Maybe, okay, about the staging. When we first saw what we were going to get in Tel Aviv, there were salmon swimming in the floor.
Yeah, that was because, like, that was, yeah, this was on a very early stage, we have to say that, because it was, it was a non-European country, like, a company that had made what should be the backdrop for us. And I guess they thought, okay, Norway, what do they have in Norway? Okay, salmon. So they had a lot of salmon swimming around, you know, in the floor. And we just like, I remember seeing them for the first time both at NRK, the national broadcaster, and they were speechless. We were speechless. We was like, okay, I think we're going to make a new one, like an own one.
Oh. OK, Okay, and do you like the salmon, actually?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Of course we like salmon, yeah. It's amazing. Like to eat, maybe not on stage.
And there was also a forest and a deer coming, jumping out of the forest.
Yeah,
there
was.
What crazy.
So a lot of animals around you in the Eurovision Song Contest, secret animals.
It might be that they've seen our music video and thought like, Kano, okay, just put a lot of animals in their staging and then they will be happy.
Yeah, the spirit animal, actually, yeah. There's some connection with your song, so
yeah,
it's a nice memories, I hope. Thank you so much for this interview. It was Kano in our memories interview for Destination Eurovision.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And of course, see you in the future Eurovision Song Contest. We wish you a lot of luck with your music journey, and see you in the future in our interviews and in the Eurovision Song Contest, of course.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let me tell it to you now. You're stronger than the